Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. Thank you for giving us a good health and sound mind and a clear conscience and a pure heart because of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of your precious word, and also because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you guide us into all truth and help us to remember what we have learned, what we're going to learn today, and enable your servant to explain your word clearly and also to your children, and open our eyes that we can understand, see the wonderful things in the gospel, and enable us to be a doer of your word, and strengthens our faith, strengthen us so that we can witness for you and not be ashamed of the gospel, just like what Paul said. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Joyce, could you read that? Second Timothy, chapter 1, 1 to 18.
Okay. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus.
So through the First Peter, and Paul tried to encourage his co-worker, his spiritual son, to return to the ministry as a pastor in the church of Ephesus. But because of the suffering that he has gone through, he gave up that ministry. So Paul writes 2 Timothy to encourage him not to be afraid, and for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but give us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So after the 2 Timothy, and Paul had written the 2 Timothy, and Timothy and rise up and go to be the pastor in the church of Ephesus. And lo and behold, when he became a pastor, he was locked up in prison again, really suffering for Jesus Christ. And how do I know that? In the right behind the 2 Timothy, turn to Hebrew, the book of Hebrew, the last chapter, chapter 13, verse 23. 13:23. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released from prison. Why? Because he go back to the church of Ephesus to be the pastor there.
2:23.
I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released, and if he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. So remember one thing, if you are willing to share the gospel to your friends, you become your friend's enemy. But now the things I have to ask you is, do you want to maintain a good friendship with your friend on earth and not sharing the gospel? Or do you want to risk the friendship? Take the risk of breaking up the relationship, and yet you share the gospel, hoping that and someday he repent and know that you do all this out of a good conscience, in doing this out of your love and faith in our Lord Jesus, and try to be the obedient child of God. You understand? And God say that you have to share. But the fact of the matter is, if you share, you will suffer. You will suffer pain, suffer hardship. People slander you. People despise you. And just like what Paul has gone through, and just like what Timothy has gone through. Can you imagine the senior pastor, Paul, and if he was knocked down by being a pastor, and he's in pain, he's suffering, and how can he write a letter in prison and encourage Timothy to rise up? He know the outcome. He know that if he encouraged Timothy to keep on preaching, one of these days, Timothy will be locked up too, right? And so that's why the reason of this letter is encouraging not to give up your holy faith. And you have to live a holy life. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 is very good. God has saved us and called us to a holy life. God not only has saved us, God also called us to a holy life. What's the holy life? A life that is different from a secular life. You know what a secular life? A secular life is you protect your own life. Try to be smart. Try to make friends with all the other people. You don't want to upset people. You don't want to tell the truth. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's not holy life. Right? So, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. What is God's purpose for us? Do you know? What is God's purpose for us? Take a look of chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, and my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The persecutions I endure, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. And in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, without dispute, in fact, everyone, no exception, who wants to live a holy life, a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. And yet, the Lord will rescue us from all of them, from all of this persecution. Okay, let's go back. Chapter 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Paul, know that. He is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. It's not because he wanted to be a pastor. It's not because he wanted to be an apostle. He was an apostle. He was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. Verse 11, as of this end of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. It's not what Paul wanted to do. It's what God called him to do according to his purpose. You understand? God called Paul to be apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. What does it mean by according to the promise of life? When God saved you, when God loved you so much, he wants you to what? To love him back. He wants you to follow his footsteps, just like your daddy, mommy. He loves his children, and he wants you to learn from this example. In the future, when you become daddy and mommy, you do the same thing to your own children. So I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. Don't leave this place, okay? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10.
Keep going.
And then verse 19. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What is love? What is love? Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. That is love. We didn't sacrifice anything for God, but God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Okay? Chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 19. 19. We love because he first loved us. We don't love God first. In verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us. How did he love us? How do I know he loved us? He sent his son, his one and only son, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's not because we are good, we are bad, and he even want to die for a sinner like us. That is love. You know, sometimes you love certain person because it's obedient to you. You know, it's worthy of your love. It did something you like, that's why you love. If something upset you, did something you hate, then will you still love him? Very likely you're not going to love him, right? Am I right? What happened if Sally did something upset you? You still say, Sally, I still love you? Or you can say, I hate you, Sally. What did you say? Has she ever done anything upset you? Like what?
He has.
Hey?
He has.
He has? She has?
She has, but I can't think of any yet.
You can't think of any. Definitely not very often then. Right? But you still remember that. Oh, wow. Okay, let's go back. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, not by the will of man, it's by the will of God. It's not that what Paul want to do. It's not that Paul want to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Not that Paul want to be a teacher of the gospel. He was appointed a herald of the gospel, an apostle of the gospel, and a teacher of the gospel. He was appointed by God, by God's will. You understand? Not that you want to be, it's what Jesus wants you to be, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Life is in Christ Jesus. That's what God promised us. I want you to write it down right beside life that is in Christ Jesus. You write down 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Life is in Christ Jesus. If you want to have life, eternal life, God's life, you have to have the Son of God within your heart and receive Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Then you will have life. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life, because life is in Christ Jesus, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. In verse 2, the recipients of this letter is Timothy. So Paul write this letter to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. When you are in suffering, in pain, what do you need? You need grace, you need mercy, you need peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Why do you need grace? You need more strength. You need more forgiveness from God. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Verse 9. Did you see that? This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. What kind of grace is talking about? In first chapter of Ephesians, he said, praise, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ in according with his pleasure and will, to the place of his glorious grace, which he has given us in the one he loved. What kind of glorious grace? The glorious grace that he's talking about, that he has freely given us in the one he loved, that glorious grace is we are predestined to be adopted as God's son through Jesus Christ. To be the son of God, to have the eternal life, to be able to receive the promise of life, that is grace. Salvation is by grace. Getting the free gifts, the free promise of life, that is grace. Okay? Grace, something that you don't have to do it, and someone freely given it to you. That is grace. Like, you work every day and then you get a paycheck, someone give you a check, that's not grace. You deserve it, you earn it. But you don't work, and someone's still sending you a check, that is grace. You understand? So grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is a grace, mercy, and peace. Sometimes when we are weak, we have no strength to do anything, we want to give up, you not only need grace, you need mercy. Okay? Do you remember what we memorized in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 4? Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, make us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. Right? God is rich in mercy. Right? So, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. When someone persecutes you, when you suffer, you lose the peace. So that's why Paul prayed that grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? Verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefather did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayer. Tell me, how can a Paul serve God? He said, I thank God, whom I serve. How did he serve God? He served God with a clear conscience. How did he serve God? He has served God in keep on praying for his dear son. That is serving. Praying for other people is a ministry. And I thank God whom I serve as my forefather did. Paul followed the example of his forefather. And how did the forefather serve God? Serve God with a clear conscience. Serve God through prayer for other people. And how did he pray? He prayed, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayer. He not only prayed for Timothy at night, he prayed for Timothy in the daytime. He constantly remembering Timothy in his prayer. Okay? That is serving. His forefather did that, and he followed the example. Being able to serve God, you should thank God. Okay? And then verse 4. Recalling your tear. Paul knew that he wants his dear son Timothy to do a difficult task. Do you remember what Paul wants him to do in chapter 1 of Timothy? Do you remember that? Chapter 1, verse 3. As I urge you, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I urge you, when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myth and endless genealogy. These promote controversy rather than God's word, which is by faith. Paul urged Timothy to stay in Ephesus. Why? So that he may command certain men. Who are they? Some of them are elders. Some of them are deacons. But they are not godly ones. They are ungodly ones. They are against God. And tell them to stop teaching false doctrine any longer. And stop devoting themselves to myth and endless genealogy. Don't teach things that is not promoting love, promoting God's word. When we preach, the main objective is to encourage brother and sister to serve God, is to promote God's word. If you say that you love God, you believe in God, and you do not serve God, that is a liar. You know, when you go to a church, you didn't see, people serving God. Those people who are worshiping God are not truly worshiping God. Okay? So go back. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefather did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayer, recalling your tears, because he was entrusted to do a difficult task, to tell the elder not to teach false doctrine. The elder was going to persecute him. Okay? So he recalling your tears. Okay? I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. How come Paul want to see him when someone is so discouraged? So that Paul can encourage him. When he get encouragement, he get comforted, so that Paul may be filled with joy. Okay? Verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And what did Paul say? First of all, recalling your tears. Secondly, reminded of your sincere faith. That faith first lived in your grandmother and now lived in your mother, and I am persuaded now also live in you. In other words, if your grandmother is a believer, it is the grandmother's responsibility to preach the gospel to her daughter. And it's also the mother's responsibility to pass the faith to her son, Timothy. You understand? So if your parents were not a believer, it's a lot more difficult for you to become a believer. But when Daniel become a believer, in the future when you get married, if you do, you're going to pass on the word of God to your children. Am I right? If you don't have a genuine faith, your children are going to follow your footsteps. Your children will not have a genuine faith. Right? And Paul remember two things. First thing, recalling Timothy's tears. Secondly, and I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Because I know your grandma passed it to your mother passed it to you, right? That reminded us, it is our responsibility to have a Bible study with our children. You understand? If you don't study the God's Word, they won't know. Okay? Verse 6. For these reasons, I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God. What's the reason why he cooled down? Is he just they didn't have the energy, didn't have the urge, didn't have the desire to keep on serving God? Because when you face persecution, you're afraid, you want to give up. You know, how can I overcome this kind of difficulty? Verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hand. What are the gifts of God? God, verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. What is the gifts of God? Sorry? In verse 6, he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God. What is the gifts of God Paul talk about?
The spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline.
That's right. A spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. God has given to each and every one of us. God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Don't be afraid. When Jesus preached the gospel, did Jesus face persecution? Remember 3:12? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12? What did Paul say? In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life, everyone who wants to live a holy life in Christ Jesus will be what?
Persecuted.
Don't be afraid. Even though we face persecution, did God know that we face persecution? He knows ahead of time. But he gives us the gifts of God. He gives us the gifts of God. What's the gifts of God? It's not the gifts of, it's not a spirit of timidity. The gifts of God is the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Using the gifts to fight a battle. To fight a good fight. So that's why Paul say, for this reason, I know that you have a genuine, sincere faith. Starting from your grandmother, pass it on to your mother, and now pass it on to you. And I'm fully persuaded now that genuine faith, sincere faith now lives in you. That sincere faith lives in you. Because you have that sincere faith, because of this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God. Exercise the gifts of God. You know what? To fan into flame is, if you want that fire gonna keep burning, you put a fan it, okay? Give more oxygen to it, it's gonna burn it. In the same way, regarding our physical body, the more you exercise the muscle, the stronger the muscle you become. If you don't exercise, you leave it alone, then you lose the strength. You know, people keep running, it's more healthy. More healthier than those who refuse to exercise. So we need to fan into flame the gifts of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hand. In other words, at one point in time, Paul, together with the other elders, lay hand on top of Timothy, and asking God to give the free gifts of God to Timothy. That is the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. In other words, Timothy is supposed to be fully equipped to do the will of God, to finish God's purpose, to fulfill God's purpose. And yet, because he sees the suffering and persecution, he wants to give up. And what have we learned in here? Although God gives us the gifts of God, that is the spirit, a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. But if you don't exercise this muscle, if you don't exercise these gifts, if you don't fan in the flame, even though he gave it to you, it will not be effective in your life. You got to use it. Okay? The more you use it, the better you become. Verse 8. So, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. What is the reason why Timothy tried to give up? Either he is ashamed to testify about our Lord. Daniel, when you see your friends, are you ashamed to testify about Jesus Christ? Share the gospel to him or her? Are you ashamed? Why? Why are you ashamed? What's the reason? You want to look good in front of your friend?
Not really.
Hmm?
Not really.
So what's the reason why you feel ashamed to testify about our Lord? Sadi, what about you? Do you feel uneasy to testify about our Lord? Or do you feel very comfortable?
Uneasy.
So if you feel uneasy, that means you feel ashamed to testify about our Lord. But Paul saying to Timothy, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. What's the reason? Why? Because you're afraid. You fear that you'll be rejected. You fear that your friend become angry. You fear that you're going to lose the friendship. Right? You want to maintain that kind of friendship. Isn't it? So how do we overcome that? Joyce? When we share the gospel, who's going to help us?
God through the Holy Spirit.
God through the Holy Spirit? How? How did he help us?
Reminding us of his words that we have memorized. Equipping us with the right words to say.
Okay. Sally, I want you to read Gospel of John 15:26. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will testify about our Lord. Could you read that?
Yep.
15:26.
When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me.
The Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus Christ. If the Holy Spirit is in you, will the Holy Spirit motivate you to testify? What about verse 27?
And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning.
Ever since you become a Christian, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, ever since we believe in Jesus Christ, the Counselor lives inside us, in our heart. The reason why the Holy Spirit come is to testify about Jesus Christ. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, will He motivate you? Will He say, Sally, I want you to share the good news to your friend? If the Holy Spirit lives in you, will the Holy Spirit ask you to share, to testify about Jesus Christ? What's the reason why you come to this earth? What's the reason why you come into your heart? Based upon 15:26. Is to what? 15:26. What is the reason why the Holy Spirit come to you?
To testify about Jesus.
So, as a Christian, if we have the Holy Spirit within our heart, should we share the gospel? Should we testify about Jesus Christ to your friend?
Yes.
You know Michael? On every Wednesday, Michael shared the gospel to his friend. And now his friends come to know Jesus. Michael done a good job, right? You know who Michael is?
Yeah.
Yeah? He shared the gospel to his friend. Tell his friend to believe in Jesus Christ. And last Wednesday, he said to his friend, if you're in trouble, make sure you pray. I asked his friends, what have you learned? He said to me, when I'm in trouble, I should pray. Okay? What will you do when you're in trouble?
Pray.
Hey, the last time you're just about to poke the eyes of your brother, you want to cause him to be blinded?
No, I did that on accident. We were playing a game and then...
Yeah, but next time, don't ever play this kind of game. You promise? Okay, because it's very dangerous, right? It's very dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Okay, keep going.
Just the bathroom.
So we have to overcome. We have to overcome that shame. Okay, Sally? Mm-hmm. I want you to write right beside in verse 8, write down Gospel of John 15. 26 and 27, right? Gospel of John 15, 26 and 27. The reason why the Holy Spirit come is to testify about Jesus Christ. If He come into your heart, He will motivate you, He will encourage you to testify about Jesus Christ. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. If it's in your heart, He will motivate you, He will encourage you, He will empower you. He say, I don't give you a spirit of timidity to be afraid of your friend. What's the another name of the Holy Spirit? It's the spirit of the fear of the Lord. You don't fear your friend, you fear God. God say to you what? Testify about me. And your friend say, shut up. Right? But you still say that. After you share, and then you shut up. He heard that already, you know what I mean? He got that? Do you hear me? You know? God say, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, okay, I want you to write it down. Write it down right beside 1:8. Testify about me. You write down John 15:26-27. When a Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. If He sent to you inside your heart, will He say, Sally, I don't want to share? That's not the voice from the Holy Spirit. that's the voice from the evil spirit, right? And verse 27, and you also must testify. Do I have any choice not to testify about Jesus Christ? For you have been with me from the beginning. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit entered into my heart, I belong to God. And I have to testify about Jesus. I have to work with the Holy Spirit. I also want you to write it down right beside testify about our Lord. You write that Acts 1:8. Could you read that? Acts is right after the Gospel of John. Where are you going?
Push, push.
Act.
Push, push, push.
The other one. The other side. Yeah. Act 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When you are afraid to share the gospel to your friend, you pray according to these Bible verses, 1:8. God, you promised me that I will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on me. And I pray that you send the Holy Spirit, fill my heart, so that I will be your witness to my friends. You understand? So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. You know what? When you become ashamed to testify about our Lord, when you do this, do you please the Lord? You're not pleasing the Lord, right? You know, sometimes we talk about secular music, talk about certain movie star, and then nothing happened. Your friend feel very happy. But can you save your friend? No, he still go to hell. She still go to hell. You tell him or tell her about Jesus Christ, your friend may be uneasy, but he or she has already heard the good news. When the time comes, he may turn around. Starting Monday, when you see friends, call your friend in a telephone. Tell your friends about Jesus Christ. You promise me, Daniel?
If I see any.
Or you just call him. You don't have to see him. Oh, I tell you good news about Jesus Christ. We all die. For the wages of sins is death, because we are all sinners. And you ask him, are you a sinner? Ask him the question. He said, I don't know. Then you ask him, have you done anything wrong? Sins against your parents, against your friends, against God? He said, yeah. But if you have done that, the wages of sin is death. But the gifts of God is eternal life. Do you want to receive the free gifts of God? The gifts of God is the spirit of love, spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Do you want to have that? You know why we sin against God? Because we don't have that spirit of self-discipline. We keep doing what we like to do, and we feel bad about that. We ask God to give us the free gifts of self-discipline. Then I won't do things that upset God. You understand what I'm trying to say? We are all sinners. You need to hear the good news. Hey, by the way, next Sunday I want you to come to the church together with me. You understand what I'm trying to say? You tell him that, so that he knows that he's a sinner, so that he realizes that he needs Jesus Christ to save him. You don't tell him, he didn't know that. You're going to do that, right? Tomorrow is Sunday. Tomorrow afternoon you can do that. If you're not going to a church, to the south side, you can call your friend. Hey, by the way, I heard something. I want to share with you. Not a movie, but a good gospel, the good news.
My mom didn't let me get anybody's phone number or.
You don't have your friend's phone number? What about Sally? You have your friend's phone number? You try to do it once.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Say, I tell you good news. Okay? I heard about that. Mm-hmm. And. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. When you see your pastor, it's not because of greedy, it's not because of his sin, it's not because of he has stolen someone's money, he was locked up, because he preached the gospel and he was locked up, just like Paul. When you see your pastor locked up in prison, do not be ashamed of Paul, God's prisoner. You understand? He did it. He was a prisoner because of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of it. Okay? If Paul is just like some other pastor, not sharing the gospel clearly, not upsetting people, and not being locked up in the prison, then you say, well, he must have done something right. God loved him. He's prosperous and successful. What about Paul? Looked like he's a loser. He was locked up in prison. But in reality, Paul was very successful. He wrote the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. He's supposed to need encouragement from other people, and yet he encouraged the pastor. Is he more powerful? Is he more noble instrument? Good vessel in God's sight? God used him to encourage the younger pastor to get up and be a pastor again. Do not be ashamed of me, God's prisoner. I was sent to prison, it's not because I've done something wrong. I was sent to prison because I preached the gospel. And lo and behold, when Timothy followed his suggestion and go back to the church of Ephesus to be a pastor, what happened? He was locked up too. You understand? So don't be afraid. But join with me in suffering for the gospel. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. And right beside that, I want you to write 13:23, Hebrew. You remember that? 13:23. Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Not through your own strength. By the power of God, that means by the spirit of power. You understand? By the spirit of love, of self-discipline. Join with me. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. Did Timothy take the advice, take the command from Paul? He did. And in the future, we will see that Jesus Christ is going to say to Timothy, you are good and faithful servant of me. Right? Faithful servant of mine. Okay. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. God never want us to suffer for the gospel by our own power. Because if we suffer for the gospel by our own power, we will give up. But if we suffer for the gospel by the power of God, we will be able to continue to fight the good fight. God never want you to use your own strength to do God's word. Whenever he wants you to share the gospel, to testify about Jesus, he expects you to pray to God and ask God, according to Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power to testify about me. He wants you to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Before you share to your friends, make sure you pray. Acts 1:8. Ask that the Holy Spirit can fill your heart. At the same time, I tell you one more Bible verses. I want you to pray. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10.
Chapter 10.
19 to 20. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say and how to say. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. He said, Lord, I like that. Could you speak to my friend through me? I don't have to worry about what to say. You remember that? I memorized a lot of Bible verses. Help me to recall some of the Bible verses that tell me a few things. You understand? You pray according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 to 20. Sally, you read one more time. Then you tell me how you're going to pray. You practice it and pray. You read it first. You read it slowly, and then you pray according to 19:20. See how you're going to pray. And then I correct you if you make a mistake.
But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you.
You know, sometimes we are afraid to share to our friends because we don't know what to say. But we forget the promise of God from Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 to 20. At that time, when you talk to your friend on the phone, you don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what you're going to say also. But you say, you promised me that at that time, it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through me. Oh, I want that. I like that. Could you use me? When you experience that kind of power, you know what happened? You'll be very courageous. Very brave. And next week, you don't need Pastor John to tell you. You keep calling all your friends. They all know the gospel through Sally. It applies to Joyce too. You know what I mean? Okay. Remember one thing. When you share the gospel, prepare that. Your friend going to say something bad to you. Do not feel ashamed of that. You suffer for the gospel. You suffer because Jesus wants you to do it. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. Then you'll be able to testify about me. Pray for that power. You not only pray for that power, pray for the Spirit, the gifts of God. A spirit of what? Power and of love and of self-discipline. Pray for that. And you pray for the right word. I don't know what to say and how to say. I pray that you're going to speak through me. Because at that time it's not me speaking. It is the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I like that. Just like how you use Pastor John when he preached, I pray that you're going to use me so that I can taste the goodness of it. So that I know, wow, Holy Spirit I've never seen. But His power, His love, His spirit of power, His spirit of love, His spirit of self-discipline, I experience it. At first, I'm ashamed of it. I'm scared of it. I don't want to upset him. And yet, lo and behold, now my friend come to the same church with me. How happy you are. You're going to try that, right? Promise? Good. Promise? Okay, go. 2 Timothy. Verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. I like that, by the power of God. That means he served God by the power of God. He preached the gospel by the power of God. He teached in the Bible study by the power of God. Then people can understand. Okay? Verse 9. God has saved us and call us to a holy life. Two things. God not only save you, God call you. Call you what? Call you to live a holy life. What is a holy life? To live a life of obedience. He wants you to share the gospel. He wants you not to be ashamed. Then you say, so help me God. I don't want to be ashamed of what I share. You know what happened? In the future, in the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and your good friend going to look at Daniel and say, Daniel, I don't know that you are a Christian. You never shared the gospel to me. But then you say, you remember at that time I shared the gospel to you, you tell me to shut up. Then he shut up at that time. He won't point at you and say, you're a selfish man. How could you are now you sit by Jesus on his throne, and yet I go to hell? You say, remember that? I share the gospel to you. You tell me to shut up. I shut up. And now you go to hell. But if you never share the gospel to him, he say, Daniel, I thought you are my friend. And you have the eternal life you don't share to me. How come? What have you done? So I'm sorry. I think you don't like to hear. Then he say, I love to hear. Now look at me. I'm not in hell. Right? Do you understand? If you practice in sharing that to your friend, when you're getting older to become parents, then you know how to share the gospel to your children. You save others, and God give you a training through that process. Then you be a good preacher to your children. You save your entire family. How good it is. It's good stuff. Oh, if you're afraid to share to your friend, in the future you'll be afraid to share to your children. Because you don't know how to share. You know, if you keep praying the prayer, practice it, you do it so well, someone asks you to say, could you play? You just play because you prepare, well prepared. So, I didn't practice it for 20 some odd years. Then you don't know how to share to your children. Okay? So you help others. You're helping yourself. Right? God has saved us. I want you to remember one night. God has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done. He saved us by grace. He called us so that we will be richly rewarded. Because if we live a holy life, live a godly life, although we face persecution, but God say, you are good and faithful servant, you face persecution because of my gospel, I'm going to reward you. So God not only saved you by grace with eternal life, God going to reward you because you live a holy life, to live a life of obedience. He wants you to share the gospel, you share. He wants you not to be ashamed, you not be ashamed. You being obedient to his word, he said to you, he's going to richly reward you. When he sit on the throne to be king, you become king. Not he saved you, he called you, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Because of his grace and because of his purpose. What is his purpose in our life? Is to live a holy life. That is his purpose for us. Not to live a life just like your friend. Live a life like Jesus Christ. That is our hope and that's our purpose. You understand? Cici?
Yeah.
What is his purpose for your life? To live a holy life. What is his purpose for your life?
To live a holy life.
To live a holy life. To live a godly life. What kind of life is it, holy life? Follow the world or follow Jesus?
Follow Jesus.
That is a godly life, right? That's a holy life. So he wants you to follow Jesus. Did Jesus Christ share the gospel?
Yeah.
Should you follow him to share the gospel to your friend?
Yeah.
Tell him about Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
You're going to go to Texas, right?
Yeah. I told my friend already, but he said God was just like wanting to people to be good.
Say it again.
I told my friend about God.
Okay.
But my friend said God, like people say about God because they just want people to be good.
I don't.
People what? Just talk about God.
They yeah.
Just talk about God existing so that other people will be good.
Other
like
people.
The role of God is not because he actually exists, it's just so other people have morals. Is what he's trying to say.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
No, that's not the reason why we share about God.
Yeah.
Because we are sinners. We sin against God. If we keep on doing it, if we keep on sinning against God, one of these days when we die, we're going to go to hell. You don't want your friends to go to hell? Then you tell them to stop sinning, to believe in Jesus Christ, and ask Jesus to deliver you, to save you. God has saved us and called us to a holy life. After he saved us, you cannot keep on living your own life. You have to live a different life. That is godly life, holy life. You say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I keep on doing what I'm doing. As if I'm a Gentile, as if I'm a non-Christian. That displeases him. Because God says in here, God has saved us and called us to a holy life. He saved you with the purpose that you live a holy life. That you follow Jesus. Okay? He saved us, he called us, not because of anything we have done. Oh, if you say, oh, because he saved me, he called me because my father is a pastor, so that's why he saved me. No. He saved you because he's gracious to you. He's merciful to you. He loves you. You understand? It's not because of anything that you have done. If you have done something, oh, because I do well at school, so that's why he saved me. No. Even if you do poor at school, he still wants to save you. You understand? Not because of anything you have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. What is God's purpose for our life? Is to live a holy life. To live a meaningful life. Okay? This grace was given us in Christ before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time, we were adopted to be the Son of God through Jesus Christ. That's grace. We wasn't born into this family, but now we become this God's family, God's children, through the adoption. He take pity on me. I'm walking in the street, like a wandering around and have no home to stay, be a homeless people. And God has mercy on me because God is rich in mercy. He said, poor John, come on, follow me. I bring you to heaven. You understand? Okay? This grace of salvation, bless you. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Verse 10. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus. We don't know this mystery, but now it has now been revealed. We know this mystery now through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus. What did he do? Jesus Christ has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What's the gospel? Through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what did Jesus done? What did Jesus do? Jesus has destroyed death and has brought life, has resurrected, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. At first, we don't know that. We don't see that. We are in darkness. Now, we are in the light. We see that. God has brought light and immortality. No more death. Okay? In has brought mortality, immortality to light through the gospel, through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. At first, we don't understand that. Now we understand it. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. Because at first, Paul did not understand it. Now, God revealed the mystery of Christ to Paul and appointed Paul to be a herald of this gospel, an apostle of this gospel, a teacher of this gospel. So Paul know about that. So he tell people about Jesus Christ. And now that you know, you have to do the same thing. That is why I am suffering as I am. Why was Paul suffering as he is? Why?
Because he spread the gospel.
Who caused him to suffer?
The unbelievers.
But what's the reason why unbeliever caused him to suffer? Because you're trying to convert the son of Satan to become son of God. Son of Satan gonna persecute you. Because Satan hate us. You try to go to the animal cave, the den of lion, and grab a hold of the cup and bring it home. You think the lion gonna let you do it? He's gonna cut your hand off. Right? You're gonna suffer pain. Do you understand? So you have to realize it. The reason why you suffer, because you try to grab hold of people and bring him to the kingdom of heaven. From hell to heaven. That's why we have to pray to God to bind Satan, bind the strong man, so that you can rescue those people, your friends, who was a non-Christian, and bring him to the kingdom of God. In that process, you're fighting a good fight. You understand? Do you understand? Tell me why. You suffer. You persecute. Who persecute you?
Satan.
Yeah. And also his servant, his son. Saul used to be a son of Satan. And God opened his eye, changed his mind, let him suffer. They become blind. And he prayed to God for 3 days and three nights. And he realized it is wrong to persecute Jesus Christ. He turned around to be servant of Jesus Christ instead of enemy of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Go back. Verse 12. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed. Paul had believed in our Lord Jesus Christ. He know Jesus Christ is good. He saved his life. He used to be the worst of all sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said that I am the worst of all sinners. 1:15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He deserved to go to hell because he persecuted Christians. And yet Jesus Christ changed his life by causing him not be able to see the light of the sun. He was blinded for 3 days and he prayed. He seek God's will and he finds God's will. You understand?
Yeah.
That is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. I believe in the Savior of the world who saved my life, and I am the worst of all sinners. I know He's good. He loved me. And that's why I want to serve Him. Do you know that God loves you? Are you a sinner? And then, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. When Paul serving God, risking his life to serve God, he know that he is in good hand. Jesus Christ is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. What Paul has entrusted to him? His own life. He's risking his own life. What else Paul has entrusted to Jesus Christ for that day? When Paul memorized God's word, whatever God promised to Paul, and Paul say, you ask me to share the gospel, you tell me not to be ashamed, you promise me that you're going to give me the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to see to whether you're going to give me the Holy Spirit. You promise me you're going to richly reward me for my faithfulness, and I'm going to be faithful to you. I want to see how faithful you are to your promise to me. And Paul saying that, you follow after me. I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. In the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, when I face the judgment, whatever you told me to do, I've done it. And I'm going to see how you're going to bless me. He entrusted his own life to Jesus. He's risking his own life to serve God. And he believed in his promise. And he's going to say, this is what you promised me, that you're going to give it to me. And are you going to give it to me? You know what? If you don't memorize Bible verses, then you don't know whether you're going to get anything. You understand? If you don't know whether you're going to get reward from God, when you face persecution, you say, wow. He's going to kill me. I said, forget it. I'm going to run away from my own life. You understand what I'm trying to say? But then you forget. Didn't I say to you, he who tried to what? Preserve his life will lose it. He who loses his life for me will gain it. Didn't you remember that? He said, oh, wow. I don't know. That was the price to my life. You know what I mean? Go to 16. Chapter 16, Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. CC, you should be able to find it, right? Matthew chapter 16. Verse 25. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Isn't it 16:25? 16:24, Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone want to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When we take up our cross to follow Jesus, what happened? We will lose our life for Jesus. But we will find a new life. He give you a resurrected life. Yes, your enemy kill you. Yes, you die for Jesus. But Jesus say, you are good and faithful servant. I'm going to reward you. If you do not remember these Bible verses, when you face persecution, you may follow the footsteps of Timothy. Give up. Forget it. I'm not going to do it. Not for me. I can't do it. I'm not able to do it. And you don't realize, God say, I never asked you to be able to do it. God say, I'm empower you to do it. I know you're not able to do it. But with the power of God, you'll be able to do it. With man, everything is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And Timothy saying to, and Paul saying to Timothy, what did Paul say to Timothy? Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He didn't ask you to suffer for Jesus by your own strength, by your own courage, by your own word. He asked you to join with Paul in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. You understand? What's that power of God? It's the spirit of power. Spirit of the Holy. The Holy Spirit is mighty. He'll give you power and strength to carry out the task and finish it. And finish it well. Remember what Paul saying to Timothy? Do you remember when I lay hand on you? What kind of gifts of God that I gave it to you? What kind of gifts that God gave it to you through the laying on of hand of me, through me, when I lay hand on you, God gave you the spirit of what? Of power and of love and of self-discipline. Don't be afraid. You understand? Try that. Try to taste the goodness of the word of God when you share the gospel to your good friend, whether you turn him to Christ. If you have the courage to share the good news to your good friend, then you'll be able to share the good news to your enemy. If it works to my friend, it may work to my enemy. But it's one step at a time. You understand? Okay? Okay. What did I say in verse 12? That's why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What has Paul entrusted to Jesus Christ for the judgment day? What did I say? Two things.
His life.
His life? He risked his life. Why? Even to lose his life for the gospel, for Christ, he would gain it. He found it. Okay, what else? He entrusted to God.
Promises of God, like from God.
His promises, his reward, right? Verse 13. Is God faithful to his promises? God is faithful to all his promises. God is faithful to all his promises. Do you see Psalm 145, verse 13? Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises. Do you see that? The Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to all his promises, and loving trust all he has made. I say, Lord, that is what you have said. I believe in it. I entrust that to you. You promised to reward me. I'm going to do it. What did he promise? I want you to go back to 19, Matthew 28 to 29. What did God promise us? In Matthew chapter 19, 28 to 29. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, okay, sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me, that means you are who are my disciple, deny yourself and follow me, take up the cross, you follow me. When you follow me and to be my disciple and take up the cross and follow me, and you will also sit on the 12th throne. When I sit on my glorious throne, you will sit on the 12th throne that I gave it to you. You understand? Judging the 12 tribes of Israel, that is what God promised. When you follow Jesus, what did he promise you? You follow me to lose your life, man? And I promise you to be king with me. And verse 29, and everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sister, or father, or mother, or children, or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. You promise me, if I lose anything for you, you give me 100 times. Is this a good investment? You entrust all these promises to God until that day. You understand? The Lord is faithful to all his promises. Not just faithful to one promise, all his promises. You understand? Hold on to his promise and entrust his promise to God for that day. You got that? Do you understand? Is it good to serve God, Sally?
Yeah.
Joyce? Verse 13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound doctrine, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Two things that what Paul wants Timothy to do. What you heard from me, just like what you heard from me right now, keep it, don't lose it. Keep as the pattern of sound teaching. How do you keep it? Keep it with faith. Keep it with love in Christ Jesus. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 to 29. Keep it. Keep it. You understand? You lose it, then you say, why should I suffer for Jesus? There's no good to suffer. But whatever you suffer, whatever you lost, you get 100-fold. You lost your life, you get eternal life. You'll be richly rewarded. When you follow Jesus Christ to take up your cross to be Jesus' disciple, you become king. Yeah, it's good stuff. Keep this kind of promises within your heart. Keep it with faith. Keep it with love in Christ Jesus. When you love God, you will keep it. You won't lose it. You know why Pastor John keep it? He memorized it. You understand? Keep it as the pattern of sound teaching. This is sound teaching. It's not false doctrine. It's true doctrine. True teaching. It's not falsehood. It's trustworthy. You understand? Keep it. Keep it with faith. Keep it with love in Christ Jesus. Because love and faith in Christ Jesus is genuine love, is genuine faith. Keep it with genuine faith. Don't say, oh, I believe, I don't know whether it's true or not. Then you won't be able to keep. You will lose it. When you say, wow, you know, that guy suffered. Next time will be me. I'm going to run away. Then you won't be a king. You won't be a judge. Judging the 12 tribe of Israel. You understand? All these disciples that follow Jesus, they lost their life. Some were crucified. Some were pierced to death by arrows and by sword. They cut your head off. They die very painfully. And yet, Jesus Christ bring life and immortality into light. He destroyed death. Do not worry about death, because Jesus Christ has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, through the good news, through this Bible verse. I know that Jesus Christ was resurrected. He was put to death for our sin. He was raised to life for our righteousness. And I believe in it. So guard this, okay? Keep it as the pattern of sound teaching. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. Keep it with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Secondly, you not only keep it with faith and love in Christ Jesus, you also guard the good deposit. What's the good deposit? The promise of God. Guard the words of God that was entrusted to you, and guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Ask Jesus Christ, ask Holy Spirit to help you to guard it. Make sure I don't lose it. Using that to pray, Lord, help me to guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Because I know the Holy Spirit will help me to remember God's word and help me to guard it. I don't want to lose it. I want to keep it with faith, with love. I want to guard it. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to me. When you hear the gospel, when you have the Bible study with the pastor, that means God give you a good deposit. At home you may not understand it, but now you understand it. If you don't guard it, do you remember the parable of the kingdom of God in the first parable? If you hear the word of God and you don't understand, what happened? The bird, that is Satan, will snatch it out of you. If Satan take it away from you, from your heart, you lost it. You don't remember. Wow, if you suffer for Jesus, you'll be richly rewarded. You don't remember this word. You see someone suffer, next one will be my turn. Forget it, I'm running away. You understand what I'm trying to say? Keep it and guard it. Guard it. Keep it as what? As the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Because when I have a Bible study with you, I give you the good deposit, you better guard it. I entrust the word of God to you. I expect you to share the gospel to your classmate. Whatever I teach you, you teach them. Then you become a good disciple, and your classmate not only be a believer, also be a disciple of Jesus Christ and carry the cross too. You understand? Verse 15. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. You know why people have deserted in Asia? Do you know why people in Asia? Asia is including the church of Ephesus. You know why people deserted Paul? Because he said that he suffered for Christ. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. No way! When I believe in Jesus Christ, I want to be rich and wealthy. I don't want to go to lock up in prison. So they deserted Paul. What's the reason why they deserted Paul? Because they don't guard the good deposit that was entrusted to him. They don't keep a sound doctrine, a sound teaching. They don't keep it. They don't guard it. They say it's no good. They don't keep it with faith and love in Christ Jesus. They don't love God. If you love God, you obey God. Follow the very footstep of Peter. Follow the footstep of our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? You don't deserve Paul. Paul was locked up in prison not because he stolen people money. No. He was locked up because he preached the gospel. Tell him the good news. Satan's servant sent him to lock him up. You understand? Some people had deserted Paul, including these two guys. Vigilius and Hermogenes, right? These two guys. I don't even know how to say his name. Okay? But the fact of the matter is someone deserves him, but the other people search after him. Verse 17, on the contrary, on what contrary? Someone, you know that everyone in the province of Asia, everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. What's the reason why they deserted Paul? They are scared of persecution. But on the contrary, when Onesiphorus was in Rome, Onesiphorus searches hard for me until he found me. Everyone deserted Paul, but there's one fellow. He and his entire household. Paul say, I'm going to bless this fellow. Verse 16, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. And on the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. Although everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, and yet this fellow searched hard for me. He said, oh, I searched for Paul, I didn't find it. Thank you very much, I didn't really want to search for him, you know, I just go home. No, he searched hard for me until he found me. He didn't give up. Because when he found Paul, he often refreshed Paul and was not ashamed of his chain. You understand what I'm trying to say? This fellow has faith in God's servant. This fellow joined in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. That's why Paul encouraged Timothy to do the same in the latter part of verse 8. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Just like Onesiphorus. Okay? Onesiphorus. Just like Onesiphorus. Okay? Onesiphorus is very courageous with the power of God, through the power of God, by the power of God. But Timothy has the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. But he did not fan in the flame. And he gave up. Not that he didn't have the power. He has the power, but he didn't fan into flame. We all have the same power if we exercise it. You understand? He said, everyone has deserted me in the province of Asia, but yet this Onesiphorus he searches hard for me until he found me. That's why he say, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshes me and was not ashamed of my chain. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. Verse 18, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. On what day?
Judgment.
On the judgment day. When Onesiphorus showed mercy to Paul, and tried to refresh Paul, and was not ashamed of his chain, and searched hard for Paul until he found Paul, and Paul prayed for him, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. God going to be merciful to Onesiphorus. I want you to write it down right beside that. In verse 18, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. I want you to write beside here, write down Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. 25:40. The king will reply, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of this brother of mine you did for me. He did it to Paul. Everyone has deserted him. And yet one person, Onesiphorus, searched hard for him. And he often refreshes Paul from time to time when he was in Ephesus. And he was not ashamed of my chain. And Paul praying that, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. 25:40, on that day what happened? What did Jesus Christ promise? I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of this brother of mine, you did it for me. Is Paul the servant of God? Is the least of this brother of Jesus? No. He's the greatest. If you did it to the least, you'll be rewarded. You did it for Jesus. How much more you did it for Paul? Right? He searched hard for Paul. He refreshes Paul from time to time. He helped Paul from time to time. He did it. In the future, in the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, God going to richly reward Onesiphorus. Because Jesus promised us that. I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of this brother of mine, you did for me. When you did it to Jesus, you'll be richly rewarded. Do you understand? And then you know very well in how many ways Onesiphorus helped me in Ephesus. He helped Paul. He refreshes Paul often. You know very well in how many ways, in all different ways, he helped Paul in Ephesus. I tell you, this Pharaoh will find mercy from Jesus. When he helped the least of the brother of mine, you help Jesus. When you help Jesus, Jesus say, I'm going to bless you. Do you understand? Do you learn anything? Starting from Sally, tell me, what have you learned today?
Not to be ashamed to testify about Jesus, and he will give you the spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline, and he will also provide you with the words to say. He will speak
what to say and how to say, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and what else?
And also that we have to pray to bound Satan before we preach the word.
Okay.
And we have to use the gifts for it to be effective.
Okay.
And even when we're suffering, and that we shouldn't run away just to save our lives, because if we lose our life for Jesus, then he will give us a new life, which is eternal life.
And
also glorify us.
Reward, yeah. So you follow Jesus. If you follow Jesus, what happened?
You'll be richly rewarded.
Hmm?
You'll be richly rewarded.
So what kind of richly rewarded did Matthew talk about 19:28? On that day, when I sit on the glorious throne to judge, and you be sit on the 12th throne, you become king too. That's good stuff, man. You lose your life, you become king. You go to MIT, you go to study in Harvard University, you still may not be president of the United States. But you suffer for Jesus, you follow Jesus, carry your own cross and deny yourself and follow him. You follow him. You reign with him. You suffer for him. You lose something, he give you 100 times. So what else have you learned? Daniel?
I should regularly pray for the spirit of love and self-discipline and power.
Yeah.
So that
when I come to, and I should memorize even more of the Bible.
Yeah.
So that when I do come to persuading a friend to come to Jesus, he will give me the words to say.
Yeah.
And keep the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus, and also to guard the good deposit that was entrusted to us, which is His word and His promises.
When He entrusts that word to us, He expects us to pass it on and teach out. Can you imagine if God entrusts His word to me and I refuse to have Bible study with you? Will you know what I know? No. When God entrusted it to you, He expects you to pass it on. You don't keep it. Remember the parable, if you hide it, bury in the ground, and then, no, He's going to say, you are wicked and lazy and a useless servant of God, you know. That's no good. Whatever God gave it to you, you pass it on. But guard it. Guard it well with the help of the Holy Spirit. And guard it well with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Keep it. Don't lose it. Guard the good deposit that's entrusted to you. That's good deposit, good stuff. With that good deposit, you don't let Satan to snatch it away. You memorize it. And you practice it. And you know. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to memorize what you have entrusted to us. What you have given it to us, you have not given us a spirit of timidity. You have given us instead a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And you have given us a good deposit, a good promise. And our Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to all His promises. And Lord, I entrust your good promises to you until that day. And help me to follow through and do exactly what you have told me, and we're willing to risk our life for you. Lord, have mercy on each and every one of us. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us to be courageous. Help us not to lose heart. Help us to take heart and be courageous and fight a good fight for you. And help us to join in suffering for the gospel through the power of God. And not to desert those who suffer for you, like those people in Asia Minor. And help us to follow the example of Onesiphorus. And because he and his entire household will be richly blessed. And he refreshes Paul often in so many different ways. He helped Paul in Ephesus. And he risked his life. He searched hard for him until he found him. Everyone has deserted him, and on the contrary, he searched for Paul. He just did exactly the opposite of what the other people was doing. He's very courageous. And with that example, and Paul used to encourage Timothy to do the same. And Lord, I pray that you help us to remember this fellow. He's a strong soldier of Christ, faithful one. Lord, I pray that you help us to remember what we have learned today. May grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to each and every one of us as we are fighting a good fight for you. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.